What Viral is about looking at how the gospel literally spread from this hub called Jerusalem to around the world. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at what caused the gospel to go viral and literally change the world. And as we see what caused that change, that cataclysmic change, what were those factors? Hopefully we can learn how to apply those to our lives and we can see the gospel go viral from UVA. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing if God did something here, if we grabbed a hold of the things that we see in the book of Acts and we lived it out, that we could literally see the gospel go viral from here? Well, that's what we're going to be doing over the course of this second half of the semester. One thing that you get when you look at the book of Acts, well, let me back up. Acts 1:8, the very beginning of the book of Acts that Josh talked about last time, it gives us these three concentric circles. You see that we are called to, he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which is our home, Judea and Samaria, which would be kind of your region or the area that is little outside of your home, but still accessible, and then to the ends of the earth. Now, when we read that, it's not quite as radical to us as it was to them, because we can hop on an Airbus and fly to Spain over spring break and go to the ends of the earth. Or we could hop on a Taka airliner and go to Costa Rica and get to the ends of the earth in a matter of a spring break like that. But Jesus said this to a group of people who'd probably never left their home area. And in this one statement, he expands the width of their life. And he gives them a vision and a mission for the world. And so what you get as you look through the book of Acts is you'll see the early church reach Jerusalem. You'll see a huge revival break out in Jerusalem where 5,000 people get saved in one day. Now, how many services would Chi Alpha need if that happened? Right? We'd be like, and there's Monday Night Live, and there's Tuesday Night Live, and there's Thursday Night Live, and then there's the Thursday Morning Live, and then there's the... Oh, man, I'd be hoarse. I'd just like, just show it on the video, right? But, oh, for that day, right? And so, blame it on the preacher. I've never preached a message where that many people got saved in one day. But maybe it can happen today. Well, anyway, so we see that happen in Jerusalem. And then what we see is we see the gospel go viral to the next concentric circle of Judea and Samaria. And we'll look at what happened there and what caused it for that next surge, that next wave. And then we see the ends of the earth. What you get are these pictures of the surges going forward, these accounts and these reports of how the gospel kept surging out and changing the world. Well, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to get some reports from spring break. After they get done, I'll come up and share some stuff, but we're going to get some reports of how from UVA the gospel went out this past week into some different concentric circles. So we're going to start off by looking at what the Lord did in Atlanta, and then what the Lord did at Brown, and then we'll get an account of some of the ends of the earth as we went to other nations. And so first of all, from the Atlanta team, Mr. Michael Crawley is going to come share.
Yes, I'm Michael. Thank you. All right, so last week I was in Atlanta on Chi Alpha spring break trip. There was a team of 20 of us that went down, and we partnered with a group called the Dream Center. They just have a bunch of different ministries in downtown Atlanta and kind of the suburbs around Atlanta. So we were working with homeless people and worked with prostitutes and kids and a bunch of different ministries. But just wanted to share a couple things that God showed me throughout the week, throughout the different ministries we did. So leading up to the trip, I was kind of nervous about evangelizing. I'd never really done that before. I guess just never really took the opportunity to speak about God with people. So I was praying for boldness and courage a lot in the months leading up to the trip. Just boldness that I would, you know, just get excited to share God's name. So, you know, throughout the week, I think God really showed me that, you know, he had my back, that there's no reason to be worried about it because, you know, he was going to give me that boldness and courage. So, like, I mean, even when I was thinking about speaking tonight, like, you know, I'd the last few weeks, it's funny because I had considered, like, when will the day be that I speak in front of 400 people at Chi Alpha? And it's funny because Courtney came up to me the other day, and I was apprehensive at first, but it's like, if God can give me the strength to go proclaim the gospel to the streets of Atlanta, I mean, like, I feel like it's one of the darkest cities in the country. You know, why would I be nervous to talk about Jesus in front of, like, my best friends? So, you know, throughout that and throughout the week, really, you know, within all the different ministries, you know, we just prayed so much, prayed for, you know, the darkness of the city and just the people that we met and all the ministries that we worked with. You know, we did a lot of work and met a whole lot of people. And it was a crazy week, but I felt like, at least for me, like the backbone of the trip was the prayer part. I just felt like, you know, that's what got us through the week. You know, God really provided in a lot of ways. You know, everybody on the team has stories. I don't think I have time to share all those. But I just, like, I mean, just so many different ways that, you know, we asked and God gave to us. You know, and I guess with that, you know, Paul says that we're entrusted to preach the gospel. And, you know, going into the week, I didn't really know exactly what that looked like because I never experienced it. So just throughout the week, God really just gave me the encouragement to, you know, just be excited to speak his name. You know, I think I just realized that, like, you know, if I preach the gospel to myself every day, you know, we've talked about doing that. You know, we've heard that in messages. But I had failed to do that every day. And I think I just realized that, like, you know, if the gospel is really in my heart and, like, truly what I believe, and, like, if Christ is really in here, you know, there's zero reason for me to be nervous about sharing that. And I just, you know, no reason for me to not be ecstatic to have in every opportunity that I have. To talk about God and proclaim his name. So yeah, that was the first thing that God kind of hit me with. The next thing, got 1 minute, this will be a quick story. But so power of prayer. Going into the trip, like I said, I prayed for courage and boldness. I don't like this. Leading up to the trip, you know, we had a bunch of meetings with our team, and Allison Leonard shared a story. I'm not sure if it was a girl that she had gone on a trip with or just a girl that she had met or something, but she told a story about this girl who had, I think it was maybe a Costa Rica mission trip, but, you know, in the months leading up to the trip, this girl, I don't know her name, but the Holy Spirit gave her a specific name of a woman. It wasn't a woman she had ever met. You know, just, I think it was a Spanish name, so kind of out there. Right, but, sorry, that sounds bad. So they got through the trip, and I think this girl had prayed a lot for this woman leading up to the trip, and for this one specific name. And over the course of the week, she met a one woman by this name, and I mean, the other woman had had also received, I think, this girl's middle name. So they had both been praying for each other, you know, people from, you know, different countries. Long story short, yeah, they prayed for the same. They prayed for each other. It was a good relationship. So after she told that story, I thought about it for like the next week or two. It's like, wow, does God? I mean, at first, I kind of, to be honest, I sort of doubted it. It's just like, wow, does God really answer? Like, or does God work in specific ways, like ways that was, you know, so unique? And I guess, you know, I don't know if it came to me during prayer or just throughout the day, but I came up with the name Alice. I guess, you know, I kind of did the same exercise. So I got this name Alice, and I mean, I don't think I know an Alice. You know, there's the Wonderland one, but that was it. I've never been to Atlanta, don't know anyone in Atlanta. So the month or so leading up to the trip, I prayed for a lady named Alice. It wasn't really continuous prayer, to be honest, but that name kept coming back to me, and I really focused on that. So throughout the week, you know, we did a lot of ministries. I never met a lady named Alice throughout the week. I kind of forgot about it throughout the week. We were just so busy, you know, praying for other stuff and just doing God's work. But the Saturday that we were leaving, we did this program called, or we worked with this ministry in the Dream Center called Adopt-A-Block. And they go into the city, like into communities, and just see if people need help with anything, like taking out their trash or taking out, you know, cleaning, or and they give them food and stuff. So it's a cool ministry. They build relationships with the people. So and they have teams that go to the same block every week. And I think the deal was that like there was a bunch of Chi Alphas at the there during the same week. So they paired two Chi Alpha students with a pair of two that kind of owned this block. So it was actually me and Taryn went out with Martina and Adrian to this block, and Martina and Adrian had just started going to this block. You know, they usually try to set up the same relationship so people go, like they go every Saturday. You know, ideally for years, so they really get to know these people. And I guess just Martina and Adrian were kind of catching up on like what people they had seen and like who was where, and you know, were any of the residents out of town or anything. And they mentioned the name Alice, and I, you know, at first it's like, oh God, you did it. So you know, I thought about it for like 5 or 10 minutes, and then you know, asked Martina, this lady, it's like, I think you mentioned an Alice a little while ago, and it's like, I've been praying for Alice. And so the deal was like, you go around to these people's places and, you know, you see if they need anything, but then you try and pray with them after. So I asked her if I could pray for Alice, you know, just keep up with the routine because I'd been doing it. So it turns out Alice was home. And Alice had some kids. We got to talk to her kids, and I gave her some food, and then I got to pray for Alice. So this lady that I had been, you know, praying for, you know, for a month or so, I met, you know, it was literally the last hour of our week. So, you know, that whole story to say that, you know, God answers prayers. And I guess just never fully realized that, you know, we're working with a very mighty God, you know, greater than I ever thought. So yeah, you know, the whole week and that experience specifically just helped me realize how strong our God is and how strong our prayers are. You know, we might not get the answer we want, but I feel like every prayer, you know, and every answer to a prayer, whether it's yes or no, is just really a blessing. And so I was really blessed, you know, through that experience. And it was just really neat to see God work that way. So thanks. That was a lot more than 5 minutes.
All right, can I get a shout out from Brown back there? All right, those beautiful voices you just heard, that was the team that went to Brown University right there. And what we did was we went around and we evangelized. And I'll be honest, when I first heard that word, that kind of made me feel uncomfortable. But what we did, we just went around to Brown University and we talked to students about what they believe. You know, their faith, what they think about Jesus, who do they think he is, who do they think he was, and resulted in some really interesting conversations. But I have to say, for the first 2 days, it was the most challenging thing I have done in a long time. I'll be honest, it was very awkward for me at times. And I was trying to figure out, why is this so awkward for me? And someone on the trip, I ended up having a long discussion with them, and they pointed this out to me. Well, they didn't point it out, but they helped me point it out to myself. I'm a very prideful person, and I really want people to like me. And I find my value in what people think of me. Which, when you go up to someone and you say, "Hey, my name's Cray. I'm from Chi Alpha, and I'd like to talk to you about what you believe in. Who do you think Jesus is?" Like, people's first reaction is not, "I like Cray." It's. This is weird, and this is very uncomfortable. And that was something I needed to get beyond. And so I prayed after the second day, you know, "Lord, please help me move beyond this, you know, this pride and this, you know, let me find my value in you." And the conversations became easier. You know, it's sometimes uncomfortable to just throw out Jesus' name, but like Nathan Schuller said, it's like Wolverine, you know. Your claws, like Wolverine has these claws, right? And every time they come out of his skin, they hurt. But once they're out, he's hacking and slashing and nobody can stop him. And the Holy Spirit is, hear me out. That's like, in all seriousness, that's like, once you put Jesus' name out on the table, watch out. Like, you have no idea the power of the Holy Spirit when that name comes out. You'll have some incredible conversations and it'll result in people going, "You know, I never thought about that," or I've never had a meaningful conversation like this in my 2 years at Brown University. And that was shocking for me. That was just amazing to see, like, the power of the Holy Spirit in just, like, the name of Jesus. And it was great. And sometimes, and when we focus on, you know, God as opposed to ourselves, it results in, when we focus, you know, when we find our value in God instead of ourselves, sometimes we look foolish. You know, sometimes we say, you know, "Do you want to know about Jesus?" Maybe we say that a little loud in a library and everyone stops what they're doing and they stare at you. That happens. But that's a good thing. You know, that's a good thing when people are like, you know, "I want to share this with you. I'm so passionate about this. I want to share this with you." And that's what Michael brought up too, you know, having that, having that love for God inside you, love for Christ, and wanting to share that with other people. And yeah, sometimes you do look a little foolish, but it's a good thing, you know? So what's next? Well, the team at Brown, we've been talking a lot, and we kind of want to bring what we did at Brown here to UVA. So what we're going to do is we're going to have tabling, and we're going to go out in 2x2 and just talk to people about what they believe. The tables, we're going to be handing out lemonade. It's going to be awesome. We'll have a question of the day, kind of orient people towards faith and what they believe about certain things. We'll be doing it Mondays from 10:30 to 12:30, and Thursdays from 11 to 1, and maybe some more times after that. If you feel called to do that, like, we would love to have you. It's an awesome opportunity. You learn a lot about yourself, and you learn to really rely on the Holy Spirit and not just yourself, and it's incredible. And I just want to close with this. Hayen sent this out to the group, and I thought it was awesome. You know, it's just Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Jesus calls us the light of the world. You know, he says, "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about glorifying God and not ourselves. And when we do that, some awesome things are going to happen. So yeah, that's what I got. Go Brown!
Hello, my name is Margaret. I'm a first year, and I got the opportunity to go to the ends of the world, and I got the chance to go to Costa Rica over spring break. Has una trompa. That was our saying for the week. So we arrived Saturday, and Sunday afternoon we had the chance to go to church, and that was pretty incredible. I've never been overseas and gone to a church service in another language, so just to see people worship in Spanish and be so enthusiastic and so passionate about the same God that I'm passionate about. And I mean, I'd always known that people over the world celebrated the same God, but just to see them and see them worshiping God the same way I do, but in a totally different country, in a totally different place, and in a totally different language was really powerful. So that was starting the week off with a bang. So basically what we did is we did construction work at an orphanage during the day, and then we went to a VBS and we hang out with children. So during the week, we got up at like 7, went to the work site, did lots of manual hard labor for mass quantities of time. We did grouting and shoveling rocks and painting, lots and lots of painting. But then the cool part was after work, we would get to go and just hang out with kids of villages. And my favorite day was probably Wednesday. We got to go to the church, the same church we went to on Sunday, and hang out with 60 kids, screaming kids, running around, speaking in Spanish. I had no idea what they were saying. But just all of these kids just wanted to be loved, and we got to love on them, and it was so cool. And I just remember walking in the first, or like as soon as I got in, I saw this girl. And she was standing there looking really adorable. And she just was really shy and really uncomfortable. So I just walked up to her and I would just smile at her because I couldn't say anything. I said, I think, hola. But I just smiled at her. So we sang songs and I would just continue smiling at her. I think she thought I was creepy or something. But finally, we were doing crafts and we finished up the crafts. And I was doing something on the floor, and she came up, and she just ran up and hugged me really, really tight, and she wouldn't let go. She just wanted to hug me for forever. And I just remember not wanting to leave her that whole day, and we only got to spend an hour with them. But just seeing this beautiful child and just seeing that she wanted to be loved and wanted to be cared for, it was just really powerful to be able to love on her. And so when I left, she like pulled my head down and gave me a little kiss on the cheek, and it was just... I don't know. It was a really powerful thing to see, to be able to love on these kids. And just because you couldn't speak the language or just because I didn't know what they were saying half the time, I was still able to show them that God cared for them and that I cared for them. So what I'm bringing home, probably the biggest thing is the Costa Rican atmosphere. It's very laid back. And that was awesome. My favorite part was just seeing the people and knowing that they trusted completely in God's timing. Like, they wanted us to get the painting done by Monday, and Monday went, and then Tuesday went, and then Wednesday went, and we still weren't done with the painting. And they just knew that that was God's plan. Like, they weren't frustrated with us. They were just really happy that we were there, and they knew that God had a plan through everything, and they completely trusted in that. And so that's the thing I really want to bring home and just kind of share with you guys, was that God's hand is working everywhere. And even though it's not our timing, or even though we might want to do it faster, or want to do something different, he has a totally different plan. And it's often, not often, but it's usually tons better than what we could come up with ourselves. So during my small time over the week, I found this verse in Matthew 6. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. And just that really hit home. And just seeing people live that verse out and seeing people that trusted in that verse completely and didn't worry about what was going to happen the next day, but just loved and worked on their relationships with each other and focused on what they were doing at that very moment. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. So I wrapped up quickly, and thank you.
Hello? Okay. Wow. There are a lot of people up here. My name's Jackie, and I was a part of this awesome team that went to Granada, Spain. We partnered with Sean and Deb Gallion and UVA grads Robin, Carson, and Julia, and Raíces, which is the cultural center in the heart of the city of Granada that they're hoping will one day develop into a campus ministry at the University of Granada. I could literally stand up here and talk for hours about how incredible my experience in Spain was, but so I apologize if I'm still running on Spanish time, which is historically very late. So just bear with me. I wrote it down word for word, so hopefully I can keep on schedule. But our team was fantastic, as you saw. I could talk for hours literally on how ridiculous our flamenco skills are now, and how awesome it is that Granada has a designated hour just for coffee where the entire city just stops and everyone can fully caffeinate themselves. It's awesome. I don't know why I didn't discover Spain until now. but unfortunately, I only have a few minutes to kind of sum up probably one of the most impactful weeks of my UVA career. But please do me a favor afterwards, grab someone that was on the team, ask them about their bear nickname, and also just a few more of the videos that Jordan made. He kind of had the camera rolling the entire time, so he caught some pretty ridiculous moments. Trust me, your life will be changed. So as I was starting to process a little bit of some of the things that have been going on this week, one of the things that my heart kept going back to was just the darkness and spiritual blindness that we encountered in Granada. While Spain is traditionally a Catholic state, the wounds of recent history, as well as the just infiltration of the enemy's lies in the church, have created just a very dark spiritual climate where I think the statistic is somewhere between like 0.5% of the people or the students in Granada would claim a personal relationship with Christ. And anything outside of the church was quickly shunned and rejected as a cult. So that's the environment in which Raíces is trying to spread the gospel. I've never experienced such a profound sense of darkness like that. And to be honest, it was pretty disconcerting and unsettling at first. And my conversations with university students, prayer walking around the city, and just conversations with Sean, the picture of a population paralyzed by spiritual apathy, blind in death to truth, and convinced that pain, anguish, and suffering were just an inherent part of regular everyday life. Just a picture of that began to emerge. And perhaps the most powerful illustration of that was a conversation that we had with a family that was converted to Christianity. Their names are Ana, Coco, and Javier. And they shared their story with us, and they told us that Spaniards are conditioned to this spiritual blindness, and even though many of them grew up in the church itself, or the Mass is given in a language they don't understand, the priest performs the Eucharist with his back to the congregation, so it's like they're in the presence of truth, but it's so far away at the same time. So listening to their stories and walking around the city, we all had this powerful realization of just intense spiritual battle that was going on in the soul of all the Granadinos that we ran into. So it was pretty difficult at first to kind of rationalize what our role was. I'll try and speed up, Josh, sorry. So since kind of bearing in mind that sense of darkness, it was difficult to see how the galleons and the girls could really minister to these people in such an environment. But after talking with them, another image kind of emerged too. And that was that while this darkness and the pain was very tangible, like Jesus explained thousands of years ago, the kingdom of God is like yeast in a large amount of dough. Even though it starts out small and insignificant, its presence fundamentally transforms the nature of the substance that it inhabits. And this is what Raíces is doing. They're wiggling down into the deepest cracks of the society and embedding themselves there. And as we were talking with the girls, like that's the hope that's keeping them going. And that's what the hope that kept us going too, as we were working with just some very hard people and hard hearts. So while the gospel is small now, the yeast is mixed into the dough and the mustard seed is buried into the ground. So there's this air of inevitability about the gospel and the promises that profound radical change is happening in Granada. So even though the Galleons have only been there for 2 years, the actual center has only existed for several months, actually. We could begin to see this past week how the gospel and the work of Raíces is beginning to fundamentally alter the fabric of Granada society, thanks to the grace of God. So throughout the week, Raíces hosted a variety of cultural events, including a talent night, which you got to see Pete's talent. It was awesome. I loved it. It was one of the highlights of my UVA career. We also had an afternoon of traditional American games, which you should ask Jordan to sing his little jingle that he made up for you to get people excited about Foursquare and Wiffle Ball. But God used those events in so many tangible ways, bringing Spaniards to several events that the girls had developed relationships with, but they were notoriously flaky. So that, by us being there, it built the credibility of the Galleons and Raíces as a legitimate ministry and encouraged these people to come. Actually, people that hadn't come in months finally came to like three events and actually helped us promote them. People like Juan, Vicky, Martín, Zoraida, and Charlotte. You should ask about these people to some people that are on the team. And they were introduced to each other. So this kind of was the beginnings of a community of interconnectedness that hadn't existed there before. So it's, while it's not really a conventional notion of success, just attendance and participation by these native Spaniards was huge. It showed that the gospel was beginning to take root. And like I was saying earlier about the mustard seed, that there were beginning to be, you know, the gospel was sprouting. So while I could talk about so much more, my time's out. I'm sorry, Josh. I think the one thing I want to leave you with before I get pushed off the stage is the encouragement and hope that we clung to in Spain and how that is just inherent to the message of the gospel. While God's passion is for the lost, and as believers, the gospel demands something of us. It begs the question, how will you react in light of God entering the world? This question has really been on my mind the past few days since we left Spain, and I hope it makes you as uncomfortable as it's made me. But that's the point, really, of the gospel, is to make us uncomfortable. I'm watching how Julia, Carson, and Robin, and Sean and Deb just invest intentionally in relationships with people in their community. I'm starting to realize that, as Sean said in reference to Jesus' statement that we must lose our lives so that we may find it, that joy is not the byproduct of comfort, but the byproduct of purpose. This trip has challenged me a lot, and it's continuing to challenge me. And I hope that it challenges you as well to look at your relationships through God's eyes. He fiercely loves the lost. And even in the deepest moments of darkness, nothing can thwart his plans to advance his kingdom. So I'd ask that you would just please pray that God will continually to move deeply in Granada like he already has, and that he will continue to raise up more workers to further the transformation that he longs for the city. Thank you.
So those are a few of the reports, and we could have had prayed to many people up here who would highlight many different things. But let me just say a couple things. One, the investment that UVA Chi Alpha is making in Spain is absolutely profound. The three girls that Jackie referenced, for those of you who are first years, were in our fellowship sitting in your seat this time last year. And they have given a year of their life to serve in Spain and postpone their careers, be obedient to what God was telling them to do. Two of them knew Spanish, one of them didn't. And now all three of them know Spanish, so that's good. But I was so amazed to see the impact that they were having. In fact, Sean was very quick to say that they are speeding up the work with their presence there. That probably they will save years of time because of people who sat in your chair are today in Granada, giving a year of their life. Now here's the thing. On June 30th, they come home. And so that begs a major question that I would like to ask. Who will take their place? I don't know. But I believe that if we open our hearts to God, that some of you may someday spend a year in Granada. I don't know. I don't manipulate these things, but I know that God cares about Granada, and that the ground that has been plowed and the progress that has been made, God cares about and wants to preserve it and wants to actually move it forward. And so my hope is that just by keeping this project before you, that we've been a part of from its very inception. We've been seeing it grow from stage to stage, and we have three girls investing their lives there for ladies, not girls, ladies investing their lives there, that maybe God would tug on somebody's heart in here and say, I want you to be the next. So I just throw that out there. It is, you know, let me just share this. This is not my notes. This is from my heart to our family. We're family, right? Okay, I've never shared this at a Chi Alpha ever. And I didn't plan on sharing it tonight. But 7 years ago, I was in my time with the Lord in what is now Ian's bedroom, before Ian was born. And I knew that the Lord spoke to me. Now, it wasn't an audible voice. It was just something in my heart that I had a profound sense that this was God. And it was this. That what God was doing in UVA Chi Alpha, at Chi Alpha UVA, was for something greater than UVA. Now, what you need to understand is at this point, we had about 70 students, and we thought we were big. And I knew at that moment that God was saying, I'm going to do something at UVA that will that the purpose of it way transcends a good worship set, way transcends a funny joke and a great hook and a good message, that way transcends Chi Alpha Olympics, that way transcends, but is for the world. The next day, I got a phone call from our national office asking me to be a part of something called the World Mission Summit. It's part of the executive leadership of that. Now, I don't say that to boast at all. I say that for this. It was confirmation that that was the Lord. Why do I share all this? Well, I don't know, because it wasn't in my notes. I had zero intention of sharing it. I don't share that publicly. This is the first time in 7 years I've shared it. But can I say that the people, we as a family, we as the Chi Alpha family, and what God is doing among us is not just so we get goosebumps, isn't just so we feel good about ourselves, isn't just so that we are not the end. But what God does in us, He wants to do through us. And He cares about the world. Whenever I was in church in Granada, I couldn't understand a word that was being sung. So it was just me and the Lord talking. And the Lord really confronted me with the question. It was this. It was John 3:16, where it says, God so loves the world. And the question that I was being asked was this. Do you love the world like I love the world? Or am I just about what's convenient? Or am I just about what's comfortable? And what will benefit me? And can I be honest with you? I wrestled with that. I still wrestle with that. I shared with the team, I wrestle with that. God so loves the world. Now that can become cliche, or you can step into the Jesus life and embrace that. And I can step into the Jesus life and embrace that His heart breaks over nations that don't have access to the gospel. Might as well just do this because I'm not using any of these. Guys, this is what I'm wrestling with. that we serve a God who loves the world, and I love comfort. You know, one thing is very clear. When you hear people share, you hear a vitality and a freshness from being outward oriented. You know, when you read Acts 1:8, you see that the Christian life was meant to be an outward life. And if your Christian life is dull, then let me encourage you to live outward, because if you live outward, it will bring a refreshing to your heart. Embrace God's heart, who loves Costa Rica and Chile and the Congo and Spain and Senegal and Bangladesh and Bolivia and Russia and Romania and China and Japan and Saudi Arabia and Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and Flamenco. See, here's what I've learned, is that when I stop gazing into my own navel and live an inward Christian life and start living outward, that it is refreshing to my soul. Now, if your core group needs a refreshing and needs new life, let me tell you what to do. Start loving on a non-Christian as a core group, and you'll find new life. If you need new life for your quiet time, let me tell you what to do. Start loving on somebody who doesn't know Jesus, and there'll be freshness in your time with Jesus. If you need a fresh zeal for church or Monday Night Live, let me tell you what to do. Invite a friend. And when you come, your ears will be perked up a little bit more, and your heart will be a little bit more expectant, and your life will be a little bit more prayerful. And you'll see a little bit more happen, and you'll have a little bit more vitality and a little bit more life and a little bit more joy in your walk with Jesus. See, what I found is this, is when I get so self-absorbed in my Christian life about what I can get, then things start to get dull. But when I go this way, things get a little more exciting. See, my son, 6 years old, last couple of weeks, it started actually when I was in Spain. Amy sent me an email, and it was like, it was awesome. His best friend, this little guy by the name of Lasad, he wanted to invite to church. And so Amy didn't actually invite him, and he started crying. And so she had to call Lasad's mom and said, actually, Ian's really crying. You know, he wants Lasad to go to church with him. Would that be okay? Yeah, that'd be great. So the last 2 weeks, Lasad's been coming to church with us. And can I tell you that my six-year-old son is more excited about church now because his five-year-old friend is going to church with him. And can I tell you that actually so are Amy and I? We're more excited because we get to take Lasad to church. I just use that as an illustration that when we're outward, there's a freshness, there's a refreshing that comes. And the reason that is because that is what we were meant for. Let me just close with this. This is a statement that Eli said in our fall retreat, and I'll just put it, all the testimonies with a little bow on it with this, that what God does in you, He wants to do through you. And whenever we let things end with us, then there's a dullness to it. When we become a spiritual cul-de-sac that nothing goes out of, well, it's not quite the same. But when you start to see God do things in you, and then you let him do things through you, there's a vitality, there's a life, there's a hunger, there's a freshness, there's a flowing of seeing God work in you and through you. And when that happens, there's joy, there's vitality, and there's purpose. Why are we doing the book of Acts? Because this is year 10. And I'm as convinced as I was in year 3 that God's purposes for us is not so you get to laugh on Monday night. It's not so you get goosebumps during the worship. But it's way, way beyond UVA. Because there's people in Spain waiting to hear the gospel. That's why God's at work here. Because there's people around the world that have never heard. Because there's universities without a Chi Alpha that someday will plant one. And I don't even know all that God has in store. But will you join me and say, God, we want it not to end with us. We want to see the gospel go viral from us to the world. The potential of what God can do if we'll just open up. Only he knows. Will you stand with me? I had a real cute message with 3 alliterated points and ended up sharing nothing. Well, I should say this, very little that I planned on sharing. But my hope is this, is that if you will walk out with understanding that what God does in you, he wants to do through you, whether it be in your Jerusalem where you're at now, whether it be in Judea and Samaria, or whether it be in the ends of the earth, that if we'll all be obedient, if we'll all get in the game, if we'll all join him in his mission, the great commission, we commission with Jesus. We join Jesus in his mission in the world, that if we all join in that, then this room will just be a launching pad. And the fruit of what God does in our ministry, we will not know on this side of heaven. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe right now there's some hearts that are beating very quickly because you're speaking to them things. And I pray that you would give them the grace to trust you. Give them the grace and the courage, as Michael talked about, as Craig talked about, to trust you and to step out. Lord, I pray that this sermon series of Viral would not just be a sermon series, but it would be a launching pad of a movement in our fellowship outward. I pray that every core group would begin to move outward. I pray that every house would begin to move outward. I pray that every heart would begin to look outward. And that we would join our missionary God who came in flesh because he loved the world. And we would join you, Jesus, in your mission. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not loving the world enough. Soften my heart to yours. Help me, Lord. Help me. And may you May you love the world. May you live an outward life. May you know that what God does in you, He wants to do through you. And may you experience joy and vitality that comes from following Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.